Hi everyone, this is Andrew. We recorded this before Aaron Hicks' homer on Tuesday night to help the Yankees to a 4-0 shutout victory. The points still stand, though, but we're glad to see the positive developments from Hicks. All right, on with the show.
Podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined as always by Kunj. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Hey, as we record this, we are getting this in before the Yankees Blue Jays game on Tuesday night, so we're not going to have the results of that. But as we record this, the Yankees have exactly a 500 record, 2-2. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, sounds about right. Mm-hmm. It's annoying because like the first two games were a lot of fun and then the last two games were not. So it wasn't like even or balanced. It was just like, wee, aw.
Yeah, turns out wins are more fun than losses. We have decided this definitively.
Yes, I have done the science. I've done the math. I've carried the two. Wins better than losses. Can confirm.
Yeah. I think it would be less annoying if it wasn't the order of how it went. And just how meager the Yankees offense looked the last two games against the Red Sox and Blue Jays, especially getting shut out by the Blue Jays on four hits. That was not what you want, as old pal Joe Girardi would say.
Yeah, no. Last two games, the Sunday night and Monday game, just very, very much 2021 vibes, which, as we recall, 2021 was not a fun season, even though the Yankees, you know, did well, I guess. They won 90 games, but man, those were annoying wins and losses and everything.
Yeah, and it's very much brings to the fold what was wrong with the 2021 team offense, and what happened? Well, they didn't really do much to address that.
And it doesn't help that, like, the last few years, like, in addition to the Rays, I've personally just found the Blue Jays to be, like, annoying and pesky as well.
Yeah. So,
and then the Red Sox are just always annoying just because of how long those games take. So starting the season with a 3-game set versus the Red Sox and then a 4-game set, even though we've only seen one of the games so far against the Blue Jays, is just, it's exhausting.
Yeah. It's not how it would have originally been. You know, the original opening day schedule would have had the Yankees, I believe, in Texas against the Rangers for a few games. And that probably would have been a little bit nicer. I mean, maybe Corey Seager would have homered against them, but, you know, whatever. But instead, the Yankees had to open against the Red Sox, and to their credit, they did win 2 out of 3, so they did not embarrass themselves to start the season. But then they had to deal with probably the American League East favorite, and arguably the American League favorite, period. So,
right.
Blue Jays, still good at baseball, regrettably. Yeah.
I guess we did avoid some annoying, or thousands of annoying headlines about Corey Seager homering while Falafel just, like, drops the ball at the infield, so...
Yeah, but it would have been more fun to just play the Rangers anyway.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. And it's also very frustrating because you see, actually, the Blue Jays played the Rangers in their first series, and the Rangers just ran roughshod all over the Blue Jays pitching. Granted, this is not a one-to-one comparison because Alek Manoah did not start any of those games, and right. Manoah started the game against the Yankees and just shoved. So they were already behind the eight ball there. But the Blue Jays bullpen still did its job too. So whatever.
Yeah. Just overall annoying vibes to record on. Again, feeling like 2021, where it's like, oh, good vibes to end the week. And then like Sunday, Monday would hit and it's like, oh, well, never mind.
Well, what a bummer. Hey, maybe this happened a couple times last year too, where after we recorded, the Yankees did play a good game and they ended up winning. So we just ended up being like the droopy dogs and Eeyores the day after. So. Yes.
So what you're saying is I need to talk bad about Aaron Judge.
Yeah, clearly. Hey,
this is my mission.
He's washed up. He's done.
He's done. He's just chasing that money.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, something else that happened. We did our season preview podcast, and then it was either the next day or the day after that came news of the Aaron Judge extension that was turned down. And as I said in our sort of postscript at the end of that show, our reaction was pretty much going to be, well, Yankees could have made it better. And, you know, I will say that they at least made a presentable offer. This is better than, say, the offer that they gave Robinson Cano in free agency back in 2013 before he went to Seattle on a much better contract for them. So it was at least a presentable offer, but they still didn't really do enough to keep Judge. And maybe these conversations have been happening years ago anyway.
Right. And that's the whole thing, right? I was quote unquote impressed, and only impressed because like the Yankees don't have a good history of this in recent years, but like they actually made a respectable offer, like a good starting point. They had to know that that probably wasn't going to get it done, but I don't think it's, if like, let's just say they ended up settling on that, I don't think it would be unreasonable for both teams either. Like it was like that decent of an offer.
No, but it definitely would not be a contract that like the very labor focused parts of baseball Twitter would like critique to the end. Like they would be, Aaron Judge would still be making like over $200 million. And yeah, like, yeah, that makes sense. But
and the reason, and just the whole process of it is what is getting to me. Like, obviously we don't know how much back and forth there was leading up to the Brian Cashman announcement, like hours before opening day, which was something in and of itself, for lack of a better term. But it's just like we heard for 2 weeks, oh, the Yankees are preparing an offer. The Yankees were going to make an offer within a week. And then it's just like, oh, the day before this comes out, like, yeah, there might have been some conversations back and forth, but the Yankees strategy in recent years has been not negotiating, just here's the offer, take it or leave it. And I have no reason to believe that they did anything else this time, which was like wait till the very last minute, present an offer that, again, respectable. And the only reason we know these details is because Brian Cashman announced what they offered to him, which is
weird,
problematic in and of, again, in and of itself. And then they probably figured Judge wasn't going to take it. And then they can come out and say, hey, we tried. He's the villain. He's greedy, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, shut up.
Yeah. It's like, I understand that, yes, the terms are probably going to come out anyway at some point, but that doesn't mean you have to give it helium, you know, because even if you hear terms, that's probably what was offered, but you still don't know like 100% until someone confirms it. And then just for them to go like, oh no, this is just what we offered. And I mean, granted, I did read an interview. They did talk to Judge's camp before and said that like, we are going to be announcing this offer. So it's not as though Judge was caught blindsided, but like,
no,
it's still very weird.
Like, I'm sure that's, I believe that, and I do think they still want to keep him and will probably make an honest effort at the end of the season. Like, I do think that this will probably work itself out, because obviously Judge also has expressed many times how he wants to stay here long term and, you know, finish his career here and so on and so forth. But still, you know what their motive was by announcing those details and all that. So it's like, okay, cool, you told Judge that you're going to do it, but it's still not a good look.
Yeah. Because everyone knows the contract that Judge turned down now, and if he signs somewhere else in the offseason, you know, they're going to be like, oh, well, he could have stayed in New York for a lot of money, but he's just choosing not to. And, well, that's just not how it goes. So
no. It's like, and to bring up Robinson Cano again, everyone's like, oh, but his AAV was hired with the Yankees offers. Like, yeah, but it was also $65 million less.
Yeah. AAV either way,
doesn't matter to anybody, guys. I'm just going to tell you this right now. It's nice to be like, oh, I get highest paid on an annual basis, but every player is going to look for the longer security, the longer, the better money, if all else is equal. And
Yeah. But either way, like, we'll see what happens at the end of the season. We'll enjoy Judge while we can. And until then, whatever. This is pretty predictable for a while now, as you said, for anyone who's followed the Yankees. So
The one last note I will say is I'm just happy that we also got wind that Devers and Bogart in Boston weren't able to come to the extension. So it wasn't like we had to hear like, oh, look, we got our guy signed nonsense. So that was just nice. And also hopefully they both leave.
Yeah, Devers we are stuck with till next year as well, because he's not a free agent until after 2023. But hey, maybe they'll just
opt out. I think after this year, I thought.
Bogarts has an opt out.
Bogarts has opt out. Yeah. I knew one of them had an opt out.
Yeah, because Bogarts did have an extension that he signed a couple of years ago, but he did have an opt out built in there. Devers is just like on the Judge path toward free agency. But hey, maybe they'll decide like with Mookie, we don't want you. Let's just trade you and then let someone else extend you. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be lovely.
Yeah.
Still, my favorite thing they did was trade Mookie Betts, because he was the one player who somehow even was likable in a Red Sox uniform. Mm-hmm. And I just had very conflicting thoughts, and now I don't have to, and I just love Mookie Betts. So it was just nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the Yankees.
Yeah. We will say, hey, Judge, you know, he did not do much hitting this past weekend. He still gets a homer. He'll probably get there. He might even get there tonight. Who knows? Because he is facing a lefty. You say Kikuchi. Yeah. I feel like he could take him deep, but we'll see. Really, the only people who have been hitting so far are Rizzo and Giancarlo.
Yeah. Rizzo and Giancarlo were up until Sunday on pace for 162 home runs.
I know. They blew it. Ugh.
Good for nothing. No, yeah. It's nice to see, obviously, Giancarlo hating the Red Sox as much as we do and just deciding to destroy them. That's become his personal mission. So that's just fun to see carried over from, you know, last year and such. But obviously, Anthony Rizzo, seeing him get off to a good start is, you know, a welcome sight, because he was probably at least mine, and I think I can assume your third choice for primary first baseman in 2022 for the Yankees.
Yeah, some high up.
Yeah, one or two could be interchanged between Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson in whatever order, at least for me. But they were higher up than Anthony Rizzo. But seeing him come out swinging has been nice. I think he's the team leader in OPS right now, which is something for four
Very
games,
meaningful.
I guess. But yeah, no, it's obviously, we knew he was going to be fine. We figured he wasn't going to be bad offensively. It was just going to be fine. But hey, if he can kind of do what he's been doing and be a little bit better than fine, I won't say no.
Yeah. And hey, he got a home run, his first at bat of the season. That's always fun to see, whoever does that. And big parts of those wins over the Red Sox, him and Giancarlo just hitting monster dingers. So
yeah, we'll take and that first home run was actually especially important too, because that was after the Yankees were already down 3-0 after Gerrit Cole had a bad first inning and opening day because of Billy Crystal, apparently.
Yeah, hey, he just hates Monsters, Inc.
Gerrit Cole, not a fan of Billy Crystal's cameo in that episode of Friends one time.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
He's steaming mad about how Billy Crystal did the 61 movie or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, no, after the game, Gerrit Cole came out, and just for anybody who doesn't know, after the game, Gerrit Cole came out and was like, oh, the opening pitch ceremonial delay was a challenge and all this, and like, shut up.
Yeah, it was like 4 minutes. I mean, and we know that pitchers are creatures of habit. We know that, like, Mike Messina, Clayton Kershaw, there's a long list of pitchers who are super attentive to detail about when exactly they're doing all these warm-ups and taking the mounds and all this stuff. But come on, that's not a good reason to come out throwing blanks.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, you missed like your pregame meal or something like that. It was like a 4-minute delay. I'm like, I'm sorry, like, haven't you sat in between long innings when the offense is just scoring and stuff? Like, that's not all timed out. Like, and for everyone, shut up is going to be a common theme for me today, but just shut up. Yeah. I still love you, Garrett. I still love you a lot.
Yeah, and to his credit, he did rebound after that and pitch better in the final few innings. And he wasn't going to last long anyway. And none of these starters are right now because they're still stretching out because of the shortened spring training. So we'll get there. But bullpen side, I had to have a lot of work, and they've been pretty good.
Yeah, especially on Saturday. Saturday's bullpen was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was just like one awesome reliever after another taking care of business. And hey, let's give a shout out to the rookie Ron Marinaccio, who has made his major league debut, walked through like six straight balls, and then calmed down and has been good in his two games.
Yeah. In his 2 1/3 inning pitched, he's has that one walk. But besides that, zero hits, zero runs, and I think 3 strikeouts. Like, good for you. Did you know he's from Tom's River, which is where Todd Frazier is from, who won the Little League World Series and took a picture with Derek Jeter?
Wow. Yeah. We can bring it full circle.
Yeah.
Back to Todd Frazier, who also retired this past week, I think. So we have one Tom's River person leaving and one coming back in. Always to the RAR, a master and an apprentice. Except I do not think that Todd Frazier is going to fall down a shaft or whatever.
Or that him and Ron Marinaccio have ever actually met.
No, maybe not. Probably not.
But yeah, no, I mean, the pitching, like we said, we talked about Gerrit Cole rebounded from that. The pitching overall has been solid to very good, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Saturday, like I talked about, it was 6 innings of no hits, no runs. There was like 3 walks allowed, like one walk by each of 3 relievers or whatever. But still, it was just lights out, shut down bullpen, which was just nice to see. The bullpen was never really going to be an area of concern. And it's weird because, like, it's not like the bullpens we've been used to in the past, like, few years with, like, these big names like Andrew Miller, or obviously Aroldis Chapman's still there, but Andrew Miller, Dylan Betances, Zach Britton, all that. They're doing it with, like, just guys. And of course, my favorite stay-at-home dad, Lucas Litke.
Well, hey, Lucas Litke, still there. You know, I will say that they do have some pretty good names out there too. Just like,
you know,
not
to take away from anything like that.
Yeah. Clay Holmes, still very good after showing his potential down the stretch last year. Chad Green, still around. Yeah. Loaisiga, still Loaisiga.
It was nice to see Luis Severino's first start in, what was it, almost 3 years?
Yeah, that was, I can't imagine the emotions that he must have been feeling out of there, just because it is, even though he did make his little brief comeback at the end of last year, there's a huge difference between starting ball games and coming in from the bullpen, and he knows it. And he got to hear from the Yankee Stadium crowd a little bit.
Yeah, and I just will take any exciting, fun, electric Luis Severino moments at any opportunity. So I'm okay that he came back as a reliever last year and we got to see his first start, so we could talk about him more. But man, he looked good.
Yeah. Jameson Taillon also looked pretty good. I know he lost technically, but it's hard to win when your team does not score runs for you. Yeah. And the only runs he gave up were a George Springer two-run home run. He made a bad pitch. George Springer hit it out. That will happen. It's whatever. But he looked pretty crackling, honestly, for most of the game.
Yeah, no, it was definitely an impressive outing for him. Obviously, there was a lot of question marks between like just his inconsistent year last year, and then he had the injury and surgery over the offseason. So there was questions of whether or not he'd even be ready for opening day. And for him to come out and have that start is, again, you take that 7 days a week or one out of every 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need, again, more people in their lineup to actually do something. And we should get into that a little bit more. Aaron Hicks has looked bad. And I know he always has bad Aprils, but he's just not what he needs to do after basically missing the vast majority of 2021. And however, with a bunch of fans against him, Glaber has not really done much. He did have a double yesterday. That was nice. DJ LeMahieu hit one home run, and that has been the end of his production since then.
He did one whole thing.
Hey, it was good to see him hit a home run, but you know, we got to get more than one hit in four games. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And unfortunately for Kyle Higashioka, he turned into a pumpkin the moment games actually started meaning something. So who was surprised?
Yeah, again, I still stand by my question, which is, will he even hit 7 home runs during the whole year? I don't know.
Will Yankees catchers combine for 7 home runs the whole year?
Also a good question. Maybe if they randomly go out and acquire Sean Murphy like I wanted them to do. What? Who said that?
No, Sean Murphy and the thick butt.
Yes. Mr. Thick Butt Sean Murphy. But yeah, no. Obviously, we knew the lineup was going to be full of problems, for lack of a better term, because of how they chose to go about with upgrading and roster construction this season. We know it was really going to depend on the 1 through 6 guys. The bottom third of the lineup was just always going to be not fun to watch, but it's been rough to just see nothing. Obviously, even Marvin Gonzalez, who like had a good spring, like he didn't look great in his, what, I think 2 or 3 at-bats that he's had so far. I'm not going to give him too much crap because, again, 2 or 3 at-bats, it's not even like he's done much. But yeah, it's just, you want to see a little bit more Isaiah Kiner Falefa. How do you say
Kiner Falefa?
I wanted to say Falefa. Sorry. Isaiah Kiner Falefa. Me. I'm going to call him Falefa. I can't say it. The shortstop that the Yankees brought on. We knew he was gonna, you know, have not a great bat, but he was still supposed to provide solid glove. That hasn't really shown up in the first 4 games, which it's like, dude, what are you doing here?
Might just be yips early on, getting used to it, and because I know that is like a mental adjustment too. But
absolutely.
And I think he'll get it resolved sooner rather than later. Jesse had a good article that came out today about it, so we'll see. I think he'll figure out his defense. The question is just going to be that offense. He's got like a couple hits, or no, excuse me, just the one hit, the double, but that's it. And yeah.
So hopefully we see a little bit more, just a little bit of life from the bat, and then the glove kind of just return to form. Cause like, I mean, we know he can do it because we've seen like his defensive plays and from past highlights from when he was with Texas and stuff. So he's not like the best shortstop in the league defensively by any means, but he's still, you know, very, very solid. So I think that'll come around. Like you said, just needs to kind of ease into it. I still think, honestly, like I've been having this mental debate with myself, whether like, I understand that it was like a great shortstop market and all that, and they should have upgraded better, like to getting better defensively and offensively, and they just chose defense. Is center field the area where they messed up the most has been my question that's been going on in my head for like not just the past four games, but like a couple weeks now. And Aaron Hicks, like you said, has done nothing to kind of ease those concerns in my head.
Yeah, he has just a ton to prove. And center field plans really just revolve around Hicks so much in 2022 because they don't want to play Judge and center out there every day. And they don't think LeCastro is really a regular option. And right now he's in Scranton anyway. So they need Aaron Hicks to do something out there. And honestly, he's not the defensive center fielder that he once was. That hurts. We see even like his arm, which used to be like the best part of his game, has like faded with all the surgeries he's had to had over the years. Yep. So it's just tough to watch him. And I know that like technically he hasn't been like terrible at bat. You don't have a lot of confidence in him right now. And that's the thing that is the most unfortunate, just because he is such a good player to watch when he's actually in his prime and on top of his game. But it's been a while at this point that haven't seen him there.
And just to kind of reiterate the point about his defense like kind of like declining or whatever, it's tonight's lineup, like Tuesday lineup, has Judge in center and Hicks in left, giving Gallo a day off, which is like, if again, like you would think if, you know, his defense was still up there that they probably wouldn't do that. But it's not something that, you know, it's just a talking point in the sense of like, all right, his bat hasn't really been present and now his defense is declining. And they really did nothing there. Like, obviously, I've gone on about what I feel about what they've done with catcher and shortstop, but you can still at least squint and see, like, all right, they're focusing on the defense and doing something here at least, but they just did nothing to address center field, which is honestly, like, just appalling.
Yeah, this is going to be something that we're going to be monitoring all year long. And I think also, just to get back to the offense, the problem with Higgy and IKF, it's frustrating to not see them get hits, but it's also not surprising. They're not the dudes who are going to be counted on this lineup for prime production. So if the guys in the lineup who are actually hitting, your Glabers, your DJs, your Hicks, even if Gallo's hit the ball hard, hasn't really registered to a lot of good contact yet, if he can do a little bit more, then you can sort of paper over all that. But so far, that hasn't happened yet. The offense has just been Rizzo and Stanton, and that leads to podcasts like this one, which is, you know.
Yeah. And the only person who, like, I feel confident in saying, like, oh, this guy will come around is Aaron Judge.
Yeah, right.
He's the only one where you're, like, you're not concerned about, like, all right, whatever. Obviously, he hasn't dingered yet, but, okay, he's still going to hit 74 this year. Not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you're a wild prediction, as always.
Somebody might do it one day. Why not Aaron Judge this year?
Yeah. But again, like, I can be reasonably hopeful that DJ and Glaber and even Gallo, maybe for some reason, I just have less confidence in Gallo. I think he'll crank out a couple home runs here and there, but that's another one where it's hard for me to have a lot of confidence in him when he's up at bat.
Yeah. And again, Gallo, I think we've or somebody has talked about it in our Pinstripe Alley Slack, is that Gallo is not like a person who you want to necessarily build a team around, but he's like a good complementary piece to have on a team where, like, you know, he could be like, he's like the perfect sixth man in the order where he's just going to be there and hopefully drive in some runs and, you know, do his thing and play very good defense in the outfield. So whatever, I think he'll end up giving us that, which is fine, but we need just more from like some of these other guys, like you said, DJ and Glaber, to kind of step up, and then they can kind of mask the whole bottom third of the order.
Yeah. Fingers crossed they figure something out tonight against the Blue Jays and get that rolling for the rest of this series, because I like it when the offense scores runs. It's it's good baseball, IMO.
Have you done the science and the math on this? Is scoring runs good?
Yeah, I've crunched the numbers. I've talked to A-Rod. He says as long as they're like even leads, they're good, I think. Was that
okay? And not via home runs? Alex Rodriguez does not like home runs, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, I was right. A-Rod likes even leads a lot. But
yes, that's a thing.
He also loves bunting. So, you know, maybe this isn't a team for him.
No.
Okay, let's not go down the A-Rod rabbit hole, because that's its own adventure.
I do have one quick comment about the K-Rod Statcast, and that is why.
Yeah,
that's it. I'm done.
I don't know who that's for.
Like, I honestly think it's just for Michael K. Because, like, I think he's not the worst play-by-play guy in the league, but he's not the best, obviously, either. And one of the biggest complaints about him as, like, the play-by-play guy, the Yankees' main play-by-play guy, is that he often turns his games into his own talk show.
Yeah.
And so I think this is just what he got. He officially got his own talk show with baseball going on.
Good for him.
And congrats, Michael K.
Yeah, I think Matt F has basically said, like, yeah, A-Rod likes to play for basically the fans that will never actually like him. So, you know.
Yeah, which, again, I don't get either, but.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
All right. Should we pivot to upcoming games, or what do you want to go to now? Or should we yell at Cashman a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's yell at Cashman a little bit, because I feel like that was important.
Yeah, we won't repeat too much of what we just said with the judge stuff, but hey, he's had his own other dumb comments aside from Aaron Judge.
Correct. Congratulations, Brian Cashman. You are dumb again, and I would like to award you with, shut up, my dude.
It's well-earned, because he went on WFAN, talked about Yankees free agent pursuits, and said that they did not make a single offer to Carlos Correa or Freddie Freeman, which is just like, cool, man. Why? Yeah.
But they kept in contact with them, whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, we checked out their LinkedIn, you know, made sure see if there did any updates.
I asked Freddie how his day was going. I asked Carlo what his favorite episode of New Girl was. I mean, what else do you want from me?
Yeah,
and then he goes on to talk about how Hal and the Steinbrenner family has done nothing but step up and blah 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 blah, and then I don't know, man, like, just shut up.
Yeah, if for those wondering, this is how, like, he keeps his job, by the way, you know. They have a great relationship. I don't see that ending until basically Cashman wants to stop doing it, so
right.
And I'm not even saying that Cashman should, like, go out the door right this very moment or anything like that too, because, like, I feel like the Yankees could do a lot worse. They could probably do better, but, like, I don't know.
I'll be honest, I'm inching towards that door. Like, I think Brian Cashman's a good GM. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a good GM paired with Hal Steinbrenner as an owner.
Yeah.
Like, and we talked a lot about it last year too, but resource allocation and just roster construction, it's like, it's hard. Like, I do call Hal cheap, but it's hard for me to kind of just call him, like, completely cheap, because, yeah, he does spend money. It's just not, you know, good compared to what his revenue and all that is. So, like, but, like, he does still spend money. It's still up to Brian Cashman to, like, know what he has to spend and how he's going to build the team accordingly. Like I think they're both equally at fault. Hal probably a little bit more, but again, they could 100% do a lot worse. So that's why I'm not, like, go rah 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 fire Cashman. But I just don't think it's a good pairing for Brian Cashman to be with this owner. I think with another owner, I don't know who that owner would be, and I don't care to speculate on that. He'd do very well, like he did in the past for the Yankees, but just with how Steinbrenner's vision is and what he wants to do, he has his number that he's not going to spend more than this. Then he needs a GM who's going to kind of come in and, you know, just properly allocate the resources towards building a better team and not just having, like, IKF and Kyle Higashioka and Aaron Hicks as your everyday starters.
No, yeah, his weaknesses have sort of been highlighted a bit more in recent years than in the ones past, where the core was built up, but now we've seen what has happened with that core. There was just not a lot of progress made with, like, Gary Sanchez, with Gleyber Torres, and how they've aged. And, you know, part of that's on the player, but part of that is on the development staff too. And part of, and it's very just frustrating to see, but we have many more days to see how the 22 season will play out. Thankfully.
Congratulations.
Yes. And, you know, we'll have the games against Toronto, and then, you know, maybe they'll restore their soul a little bit by playing the Orioles in Baltimore, or maybe they will just embarrass themselves again like they did several times last year.
Hey, the Orioles have new anti-Yankee dimensions, so I don't know if those will help the Orioles or if just the Yankees' inconsistency will help the Orioles. But it's hard for me to get excited about a series against the Orioles, because it's either the Yankees just, like, destroy them, which they should do, or they're just going to be annoying and not win as many games as they should, and that's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
And it's just, okay, whatever.
Yeah, there were just so many instances last year where they could have really made, like, a definitive statement against the Orioles by just thoroughly pantsing them, and they just didn't.
And that was probably the difference in not hosting the wild card game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they win just one more of those games against the Orioles. And then that game's at Yankee Stadium, and Giancarlo Stanton, long fly balls go out, but whatever.
Yay.
Yeah. 11-8 last year against the Orioles, which is fine if you're 11-8 against, you know, the Blue Jays or Rays or Red Sox, but you got to do better than 11-8 against the Orioles. Every other team in the division played them much better.
Yeah, especially the Rays, who just, like, walked all over them.
They did a 2019 Yankees on them, basically.
Yeah, That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Also, the 2019 Yankees won the division, and we're two games shy of the World Series. So, you know, maybe do that.
Yeah, just do something, please.
Yeah.
But then after that, they go to Detroit. So it's, you know, after the Toronto series, they'll have their first road trip, like you said, Baltimore and then Detroit. And let's see what happens.
Yeah, we get to see Spencer Torkelson in the flesh.
Yes. He of getting handed a glove by Miguel Cabrera.
Yes. Which
I know I talked about last time, too, but it was still just one story.
And of Guy Fieri friend fame.
That I forgot about until you said it again.
It's the most essential Spencer Torkelson fun fact.
Yes, that's your Spencer Torkelson fun fact. And my favorite random fact is Louis Litke is a stay-at-home dad.
Also, they have Javi Baez now, and that'll be a challenge.
Yeah.
Another shortstop the Yankees could have signed, but did not.
I know there was a lot of talk about Correa possibly signing there because of Hinch and all that, and whatever.
Yeah.
But at least they went and did something, and they got Javi Baez. That's still good.
They also got Eduardo Rodriguez from the Red Sox. So they're a better team. I don't know if they're a playoff team yet, but they're definitely a team that could surprise and win a wild card spot, or maybe even win the Central if like the White Sox take a step back without Lance Lynn for most for a good chunk of the first half of the season.
That's true. Plus, there's like 75 playoff teams per league now. So
yeah,
I think that they might get in.
Yeah, it's possible. Oh boy. Speaking, do we have anything else, or should we get to the end of our pod?
I think that's it. That's been an up and down week. Hopefully we have a better week and a better, happier podcast for you guys next week.
Yeah, we were really hopeful after like the Donaldson walk-off on opening day, which I guess is the first time I'm even saying those words on this podcast.
But oh yeah, that happened.
That was really fun. That was exciting. Glad that happened. That's it. Could use a little bit more. Could use seeing a dinger from Donaldson too. He's made some good plays at third base, but he hasn't gotten the bat going yet. Maybe that'll happen in this Blue Jays series where he's like, my old team. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, and just while we're here, before we go on, apparently Gerrit Cole has come out and said that he's going to use the PitchCom technology again, which like where Higashioka can just press to like signal signs instead of actually putting down fingers. But he did mention that he had trouble hearing signs because of Yankee Stadium's two-strike siren, the Star Wars Imperial alert. And again, my guy, just shut up. I love you, but shut up.
Oh, man. I will say that I could do without that, too. I'm getting kind of tired of it. It was fun for, like, the first year, I guess, maybe. But now it's just like, do we need it?
No, yeah, that's fine to complain about it then. But it seems like he's just, like, prepping for, like, oh, if I have another bad inning, I can blame it on that. Or that's what I'm blaming this on, and plus Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they had any sense of humor, they would have Billy Crystal doing the voice for the Star Wars noise.
Yes. Next time. Or just record Billy Crystal's voice into the piece, so then whenever Higgy calls for whatever pitch he calls for, that's just the sound.
They're a fastball here, Garrett. I don't know why that was my Billy Crystal voice, but
if the Yankees had any sense of humor, that would at least be like, you know, the skits that they do before the season starts during spring. That would at least be one of them.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they'll do that next year.
Maybe they need to win the World Series for him to get a sense of humor about it. I don't know. All right. Shall we move on to the end?
Yep.
All right. So we are doing a programming change, which is honestly overdue. We probably should have done this a while ago because Sergio Mitre is an absolutely disgusting human being and should not really be compared to anyone like this, even like in a goofy Who's Listening podcast setting. So we are no longer going to be doing, quote, the Mitre of the week. We are, you know, absolving that because he should be sent to a different realm of hell or whatever. So we are going to just change this to another despicable figure, but despicable for mainly just baseball reasons. So it's the now Yankee and Manfred of the week.
Yeah, just Mitre, that guy. Sorry. You're going to have to edit that, but that he deserves it. And it honestly was, I think, a much needed change on our part, and better now than never.
Yeah, and we can still do the car horn, the Manfred of the week, because he too is a clown.
Still works. Yeah, and we don't like him, and nobody does.
Yeah. All right, who's your Yankee of the week?
So I have a few.
Well, you gotta pick one.
I'm gonna go with a few for both, and we're gonna like it.
Whatever.
this is going to be a very generous podcast from me, because I just like to tell everyone to shut up. Mm-hmm. But if I have to pick one, I'll go with Luis Severino, because again, it was just fun to see him kind of come back, have that good start. Like, yeah, he gave up a bad pitch to Verdugo, whatever, shit happens. But overall, you know, he looked electric. He looked great. Three innings, obviously not a lot of length, but pretty much in line with what to expect for, like, you know, his first game back. It'll be interesting to see, like, what kind of pitch counts and pitch limits he's on, just because he hasn't pitched, like, you know, extensively in so long. But I'm just excited to see him, you know, back on the mound, starting games every 5 days. And, you know, it's just a good first step for him.
Yeah, it's fair.
What about you?
So, are you not going to go through the rest of them?
I'm going to turn it into honorable mentions, because you told me to pick one. So good. I'm going to do that now.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I'm going to take one of yours, because, I mean, why wouldn't I make Giancarlo Stanton a Yankee of the Week?
So, yes.
Yeah, we'll put Giancarlo Stanton for just torching the Red Sox again. Homered in six straight games against them, including that wild card playoff game, in which, you know, again, you should have had three home runs, but we're not bitter.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Me? But, hey, he bitter? No.
No. He kept that streak going for the first two games of the season, and he's looked great. So no problems with Giancarlo. Love you.
And even on that Sunday night game, like, he didn't hit a home run. He still had a good game, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And my honorable mention will go to Rob Marinaccio, just for, you know, like we talked about earlier, just a very good start to his career. You know, making it up to the big leagues is obviously a big deal just in and of itself. But, you know, to come out firing and throwing the way he has, it's been, you know, fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And sure. Again, he's from Toms River, which is where Todd Frazier is from.
Famously,
yeah. Did you know he won the Little League World Series?
Did he get a picture with Derek Jeter?
He did get a picture with Derek Jeter.
Lucky him.
Anyway,
yeah, okay, so my Manfred of the week, I don't know why I'm going that. Who is your Manfred of the week?
My Manfred of the week is gonna be I don't know if I've done this before, but a repeat winner, which is the front office as a whole, but I'm gonna go a little bit more tailored and specify Brian Cashman. Just shut up.
Yep.
I wasn't a fan of I don't know that it was obviously purely his decision to have a press conference saying we did not reach an extension with Aaron Judge, but he's still the general manager of the team. He's the face of that front office, and he was the one that was speaking. And at the end of the day, he could have just not said the contract details, which I wasn't a fan of him doing anyway, regardless of the fact that he let Aaron Judge's camp know. And then his comments the other day about we've done nothing but step up and blah, 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 and not making any offers. Brian Cashman, you win. Congratulations. You're Rob Manfred.
Yeah. Hey, that might be his dream, to be Rob Manfred.
It might be. Who knows? Not a dream that any normal person would have, but hey.
It is a worthy pick. So,
yes. And I do have honorable mentions again, but I will let you go first before I rattle them off.
Kind of you. I am... I got to give it to Isaiah Conor-Falefa. I mean... It was just a terrible start. And I feel bad for him, because I know he, like, wants to, like, prove that, hey, I know that the Yankees didn't get any of the 5 million shortstops, but I'm not the worst guy in the world. But it doesn't help when you start off this week with the bat and muff a whole bunch of plays in the field where you're supposed to be actually good. So
yeah,
get it together, please. I don't have a ton of confidence in you, but I'd like to see you actually make it interesting and hopefully not make us all scream for Oswald Peraza like yesterday, which I guess is already happening, but.
Well, that was bound to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My whole thing is, like, all right, I'm not expecting anything with the bat, but at least do the thing you were brought here to do. Mm-hmm. And which we know we did talk about. I do think he'll eventually come around and it'll be his defense at least will be fine. But yeah, it's just not a way you want to start to go, but hey, maybe he'll prove us wrong and, you know, have a great season with the bat as well. Who knows? Maybe he'll turn into the next Didi Gregorius.
Maybe. Probably not.
Maybe. But
yeah, I will say that I almost gave it to Higgy. I maybe should have given it to Higgy, because he just hasn't done nothing at bat. But I guess there were never expectations for that unless you were the number one Higgy fan. So.
Hey, your spring training didn't convince you?
No, somehow it did not.
Well, to make you happy, is part of my honorable mentions, I have basically the whole bottom third of the order, which includes Kyle Higashioka. So Ray, congratulations. And I also just wanted to once again tell Garrett Cole to shut up, even though I love him, because Billy Crystal made him pitch bad. It was just so stupid.
He did I'm this sorry. To me.
You're a $324 million pitcher. Do not blame Billy Crystal and his 4 minutes for you having a bad inning. It's okay to have a bad inning. It's okay. Shit happens. It's fine.
Yeah, Garrett Cole is just like sitting at home watching like random cable. Then when Harry Met Sally comes on, he's just like fuming.
Garrett Cole, every time he throws a pitch, is just in his mind like, analyze this, analyze that.
Oh man, he's gonna bean him. His new favorite Yankee of all time will be Joe DiMaggio, just because one time Joe DiMaggio punched Billy Crystal in the stomach. Yes.
He's also going to make Higashioka just have a Billy Crystal face in the back of his mitt. So now every time he pitches, it just goes to Billy Crystal.
Again, this would be so much better if like baseball players sort of had these like heel personalities, but alas.
Nevertheless.
The only heel personalities we get are the ones who are just actual assholes.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I think that'll about do it from us, unless you have anything else.
Nope, that's it. Go Yankees, go baseball, I guess. And hopefully, like I said, we have a better podcast for next week.
Or more fun, that's what we're hoping.
Exciting podcast, rather.
All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. Follow me on Twitter at Mearns PSA. I think we're going to skip the Kunj Twitter bit this year.
Yeah. I got tired of figuring out where to find me.
Yeah, there you go. So,
as we said last week, just permanently find me at I'm Not an HR Hitter.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So let's go Yankees, take care of business against the Blue Jays, and don't mess around against the Orioles. That would be nice. Hot take, I know. Have a good night, everyone.